from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Steelers insider Mike DeFabo trying to get me to jump off a bridge.
Now you've got our listeners' ears perked up.
Mike is writing an article, or did write an article, about how Matt Canada could be back next year. Why did you do that?
Well, because I think that as much as a big portion of the fan base, and obviously you, don't want to even listen to that question, I think it's worth acknowledging the fact that there is a chance that Matt Canada's back next year. I think that you have to consider the circumstances here that he walked into with a young quarterback and all the new pieces, and also consider the fact that they have made improvements. I'm not saying by any means that if I were making the decisions that I would, say that Matt Canada should be back, or that would be my vote if this was a democratic process. What I'm saying is that if you acknowledge the fact that the Steelers are a team in a franchise that traditionally gives coaches a longer leash, they're a franchise that typically is more patient, and given that there has been progress the last couple games, and it seems like he has a good working relationship with Kenny Pickett, it's at least worth asking that question and at least wondering, is there a possibility that depending how these last couple games go, that Matt Canada could make a case that he should be retained?
If he was up for this, like right now, if it was before this next game, Steelers have to make a decision, keep him or move on and look for somebody new. What do you think they would do, Mike?
I think look at what they did into the bye week. Everyone thought that, okay, that was a natural time to make a change, and they didn't. So, are you asking me, would they keep him next year, like if the season ended today?
Yeah, the season ended right now, and this was his body of work.
Yes, if last game was week 18.
Right.
I think that he still would need to prove more. I mean, if I were making the calls, and this is not, Art Rooney is not over my shoulder right now telling me this. This is me just kind of speculating on what I would do. I think that he needs to continue to show development and progress, especially with Kenny Pickett,
Okay. And
continue to see that that connection and that bond is growing. Because here's the biggest thing. The biggest question and the only thing worth playing for this year, for the most part, is Kenny Pickett's development. And if you continue to make progress and you feel like Kenny Pickett has a great grasp on this offense, he has a good relationship with Matt Canada, and then you make a change, there is going to be a learning curve. Whether that learning curve can be overcome just in training camp and Latrobe in the preseason, or if that stretches into this year, that remains to be seen. And so I think that if Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett continue to produce well and, continue to make strides, and by the end of the season it's looking like a different offense that's coming around, I think that there would be a case, certainly, that people would have to at least consider.
Yeah, I've considered it. Now I'm ready to
move on.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do. Do you want my opinion on what I would do if I were calling the shots?
Yes.
I would like, because here's the problem with offenses. It's very difficult to isolate one variable in a complex equation, right? Is it the progress? Is it Kenny Pickett that's improving, or is it the offense as a whole? Is it the players understanding Matt Canada's system better? So, personally, what I would do is go get an offensive coordinator who's proven, and that he can coordinate things. That he's had success in the NFL. So then if Kenny Pickett does not do well, the reason. You've had a guy that you've removed one of the variables. That the commodity is the offensive coordinator, and he's had success in the past. You don't really know that with Matt
Canada. Okay, so it sounds like you, as a beat writer who's around the team and is up close, think, your personal opinion, get someone that's got a better track record. But it sounds like the point of this story was, knowing the Steelers, you feel like they're showing the signs of life that will keep him employed beyond this year. There's your opinion, and then there's you as a reporter. And it sounds like Mike DeFabo as a reporter thinks, gun to your head, Canada would be back next year.
Gun to my head, I think that if he continues to show progress, and I think that if things continue to trend this direction, I think that it's going to be seriously considered. I'll say it again. It's not a democratic process, because if it was, then...
So who makes the decision, Tomlin?
Yeah. Is this a Tomlin call, or is this an Art Rooney call?
you know how they'd answer that question. They would say it's the Steelers' decision. I'm sure that everybody kind of has a voice in that. And the other person that I think should have a voice in it is Kenny Pickett. I think that they should pull him aside. And, I mean, he has to be professional throughout the rest of the season and say, legitimately, how is your relationship? Let's speak openly. Nothing that you say here leaves this room. And truly get his input. You know, are you telling reporters that you have a great relationship with him because that's the thing to say? Or how do you really feel about this dynamic? And I think that that definitely should be weighed as they go forward.
All right, Mike, before we brought you on, one of the things that Chris and I were discussing was everyone has been so obsessed with Pickens only getting two targets and one ball on that very much forced quick out because he was upset. And that's been the focus for days. Why didn't the guy play more against Atlanta? Why was his snap count the lowest of the season? His snap count should have been lower when he was still learning the offense and Chase Claypool was around, when he was maybe technically third on their depth chart. Now Claypool's gone, and his snap count was the lowest it had been all year. You were there. Why wasn't Pickens more involved, even from just being out there as a threat, Mike?
No, I think that that's a good question for sure. I mean, I have my questions as well about when you're down by the goal line and you choose to throw a fade to Deontay Johnson versus throwing it to the big guy who can win the 50-50 balls. There's certainly, you could ask questions about his usage and if he should, you know, be utilized or featured more in the offense. And I absolutely think he should. And I think it was kind of ironic that soon after he complained, it actually worked. And then they threw him
a squeaky wheel theory.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that it is important to feel like playmakers are involved in the offense and there's momentum. Momentum is a real thing for these guys. So I absolutely think that coming into this next week, you know, they're saying all the right things, but I think that they should give him a handoff like they did a couple weeks ago where it seemed like he was kind of taking the Chase Claypool jet.
Do you think they will do
that,
Mike? Do you think their script early on in that game is going to be Pickens heavy come hell or high water?
No, I don't think that they're going to be looking out for anybody's feelings. I think they're going to do whatever they think is going to help them win the football game. But I think those should be the same thing. I think that Pickens is emerging as one of your most talented offensive pieces, and as such, he should definitely
Mike,
be a featured piece.
When you consider that Matt Canada said like it's starting to click for these guys, it's starting to make sense, everybody gets along in here, do you buy it? Like just from what you're able to glean from your reporting, when the offensive coordinator more or less strikes a tone of kumbaya, everybody gets along, don't sweat this, is he full of it, or is that backed up by what you see, what you hear, who you talk to, et cetera?
No, I think that it is. I think that as Kenny Pickett has become more comfortable in the offense, he's showing his natural skill set. And everyone had talked about how he has this natural leadership quality about him and can inspire guys. And it's tough when you're brand new and you're not having success to really be that guy that says, all right, everybody follow me and I'll lead you there. But now that he is starting to get a better grasp on the offense, I am seeing more of that. And I think that as you know these relationships continue to develop, he'll be able to have these candid conversations with George Pickens, and he'll be able to, you know, have discussions with other guys within the offense. But I mean, I think that a lot of guys on the offense are frustrated because they've underperformed. Like to a man, I think it would be difficult, other than maybe Pat Freiermuth, to name a player that has been satisfied with their offensive production this year.
Well, doesn't so that go back on Canada? I mean, he was talking today about how many great players they had and how it makes his job so hard to keep them all happy. Well, then why are you down near the bottom of the league in like every meaningful offensive stat, Matt?
Right. No, you make a good point there. Absolutely. When you know, they've paid the defense heavily, but they've also invested heavily in draft capital on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, with a first-round running back, a second-round wide receiver, a first-round quarterback, second-round tight end. I mean, that's a lot of draft capital at skill position players, and I would think that that's more than enough to put together a better offense than what they've done so far.
Mike, what do you think it says about Adam Crowley that he can't even have a drink at a station event anymore because he thinks he's going to run his mouth and say something that gets him fired?
It says that maybe you guys made a bad hire. And maybe that's your mistake for hiring the WVU guy. It's kind of on brand that the WVU guy is the one that's a little too worried about getting hammered and saying something inappropriate, right?
I think we can end on
Mike,
that.
I think
note.
We got our money's worth in this interview. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, me and Crowley are buddies. Let me just say, first of all, when you guys invited me to this karaoke event, you I assumed that it was like me and Crowley going out and drinking and going to karaoke. And then here I come to find out I'm supposed to actually sing a song. And
what's your go-to? I know you have a go-to. What is it?
You're going to have to wait and see. I've got a banger. Wait till you see what I sing.
We're going to sing Wang Chung.
I can't wait. It's going to be electric.
All right, Michael, be there.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.